Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. Today, I want to welcome Ethan Diaz to the show. He just celebrated his two-year anniversary last week, and he's the co-founder and acquisition manager at DB Invest. Ethan is responsible for the acquisition and management of 232 multifamily units and six triple net lease units and expanding. Welcome to the show, Mr. Ethan Diaz.
Hey, Gino. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here. I've been watching this podcast for a while. I was actually just listening to the Chris Voss episode not too long ago as well. So I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for being on. And let's just get the gorilla in the room out of the way. How old are you, Ethan?
I'm 21 years old.
21 years old. So for anybody that says I am too young to get into multifamily or I'm too young to get into real estate, I hope this podcast by the end of the show will show to you age has nothing to do with it. Obviously, Ethan's got an amazing father. I met Ethan's dad at a Jake and Gino event last month. Very supportive. So for all of you parents out there, myself included, our job is not to tell our children what to do. Our job is to create a happy, healthy, safe environment for them to thrive, for them to be able to create and make decisions for themselves, not tell them what to do along the way, and let them decide for themselves what they want their life to look like. So if Ethan doesn't want to go to college, Ethan's dad says, fine, what do you want to do, Ethan? Ethan says, I want to buy real estate. His dad says, fine, how do we do that? And that's where we are today. And that's just a really big lesson for all the parents out there. We think we know what's best for our children. And at certain points, maybe when they're 3 and 4 years old, we probably do. But as they get older, you want them to shape their own minds and make their own decisions and come to their own conclusions and create the life that they want. It's so much more empowering. So Ethan, let's talk about that very first deal. 8 units at 17 years of age, brother. How did that come about?
So when I was 16, I was a junior in high school. I told my dad, I don't think I want to be a physician. I don't want to follow the path that you laid down for me. My whole life, that was my goal. That was my dream. But I realized it was my dad's dream and I was trying to live it for him. Right. Mm-hmm. And, my grandfather has rentals in Peru and he used to always joke around with my dad. Like, we make the same amount of money, but you have to go to work and I don't. Cause he just got paid on the first of every month. So stuff like that always stuck in my head as a kid. And just to go on vacations with my dad and him having to leave the vacation a few days early. Cause you know, he works for the hospital, right. And he can't build that schedule around his vacation. Right. So, I always knew real estate was kind of the path I wanted to go. And he said, if you're not going to go to college, you better stay educated. I don't want you 4 years down the road, your friends are, you know, just, your friends are here and you're here, right? Like, they're constantly compounding, right? And getting better. So he said, if you want to not go to college, you have to read a book a week. So I'd read nonstop. During COVID, I read a book a week. He read 90 books that year. So 2020. So it was always competitive, my father and I. So if I read one book, you would read two books. So, but having someone like that, like a competitive and caring father that was there for me, helping me with the real estate. And he would take me to seminars in Orlando. So I'm in Orlando. We live about an hour away. So every weekend I would leave school early on Friday sometimes too to go do seminars. So it was tax seminars, the tax liens, single family, wholesaling, flipping, stocks, rich dad, poor dad seminars, right? Eventually we landed on a seminar about multifamily. And for me, it was the hardest to argue against, right? Nothing is recession proof, but some things do seem a little bit recession resistant, right? Mm-hmm. So I felt like it just made the most sense. I couldn't argue with it. The economy is at scale. And when you read and stuff, you learn about OPM, other people's money. And that just seemed like the best opportunity for me to take advantage of that was through multifamily and syndicating.
Ethan, I really want to dive deeper though. What did your dad really say to you? What was the conversation? Like, Dad, I'm 16 years old. For the last 16 years, we've been talking about me being a doctor. That was my dream. And then I realized it's just not my dream anymore. I see what my grandfather is doing. He's making money. And it's not really about making money. It's about creating a life that I want. I mean, honestly, how difficult. And this is for all the young adults out there and specifically for parents as well. You're going to have difficult conversations with your kids. But the job is to listen to your child. Not just to be out there to dictate and to tell them what to do. And that's very hard. Almost as hard as saying, I'm sorry to your children when you make a mistake. But listening, I mean, honestly, how was that conversation? How did you bring the conversation up to your dad to say, hey, pops, I just don't want to do this?
So by the time I was 16, I only had two classes in high school. I finished with the rest of my credits. So I would do two classes in the morning, then I would go to work. And I would work full time for him. I was already his full-time employee, basically his assistant, helping him out with loans, other stuff, right? And he said, Ethan, here's his book, right? First book was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then eventually we started reading a little bit. And then that's kind of what got me into it, like triggered it, being like, Dad, these books, it has it here. Like being a doctor is not the best route, right? It's like, there's a book by, I think it's called, it's like Dr. Tom Burns, Why Doctors Don't Make Money, I think it's called, right? But, you know, doctors, they're not financially educated, right? They're the as educated as you can get in their field, but they never are taught about the finances, right? So for, honestly, it was a very easy conversation with my father. I didn't think it would be because, you know, having a foreign father who came here as an immigrant, he risked a lot of stuff, right? And, you know, that American dream, having your son go to college, right? You know, then buy a house, right? But luckily, my dad was very easy to speak to about that.
It's interesting, Ethan, because we interviewed Dr. Tom Burns on the Jake and Gino show. Oh, nice. And I think his book was Why Doctors Don't Get Rich, something correct, to that yeah. effect. They may be very intelligent when it comes to their craft. They're really highly educated. It's just on the tax side and on the investing side, they've never gone to college. They've never gone to school. They've never learned that skill set. And, you know, share with the listeners, what is your passion? What is your next ebook coming out? How can you help doctors and high income earners? Yeah.
So for me, as a kid, as a physician, it's great, right? The money, right? You know, going to night schools and everything. But I didn't get that time with my dad as much as I wanted to. So I have an ebook coming out, Why Dumb Doctors Pay Taxes, and to just teach doctors about, you know, like doctors think, you know, there's nothing they can do to lower their taxes, but there's different ways you can do, right? And that will be laid out in the ebook, but I want to help out other doctors have more time with their kids, more time at home. And to do that, you need to replace the income that you have at the hospital, right? So having a few passive, you know, rentals in their portfolio that at least they can go home a little bit earlier and see their kid before they go to bed, maybe, right? My dad worked, he would get up at like 3 a.m, go to the hospital, then be back home late. So the only people who really remember how hard you work is your kids and your wife, because they know how long you're not there, right? So. So that's kind of what my passion is.
So Ethan, I think we have something called baby money soldiers, and I want to hold up this dollar for everybody. It's important. Doctors make a ton of baby money soldiers. A baby money soldier is any dollar that comes into your life. So a doctor may be earning 500,000, 1 million baby money soldiers a year. The problem is probably half of that goes to taxes. So half of the baby money soldiers are already dead. Probably 75% of them go to living expenses and luxuries. You know, private school's expensive. You know, you're going to the country club, that's expensive. Vacations are expensive. They don't understand how to utilize baby money soldiers. And, you know, for multifamily, there's a lot of ways to invest as a high income earner. Maybe you go out and find a person like an Ethan Diaz or someone in the Jake and Gino community who has an opportunity where you can start investing passively, taking some of those baby money soldiers that you would have killed, but then putting them into a deal and letting them procreate, letting them continue to grow with an operator like Ethan. And then all of a sudden you start understanding the business and you start saying to yourself, well, if I can do this passively, a year or two goes by, maybe I can start doing this actively with other people since I have a great big network. And there's another show that I would have everyone go listen to. It's with Ryan Byrne and his wife, Francesca. She's a doctor. He is the operator and of these assets, the asset manager and the deal dog finder. And she's the one who can raise tons of capital from doctors who are looking to get into real estate. They don't know how to. How do I invest in real estate? I'm too busy. You heard Ethan, his dad's getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then it's such an intensive job. The focus has to be on your craft. And by the end of the day, you're burned out. You don't have any other time. I think the goal is to find people like Ethan and other people in the Jake and Gino communities and other people out there operating these assets. Would you like to expand on that, please?
Definitely. A lot of times, like Dr. Tom Burns talks about, is these doctors have what they call it, a God complex, right? Because they went to school for so long. People have such high respect for them, like the nurses, the people in the hospital, right? So it's hard to sometimes talk to them about finances. They're not really educated in the financial realm, right? A lot of times they just think 401k and stocks is all they really know. But that, you teach them, you can't depreciate your stocks, but you can depreciate the real estate, right? So your wife's not working full time. I know physicians that have maybe 20 units and their wife doesn't work and she helps with the management, but they don't have an educated CPA. So it's a small switch like that. Like, hey, just get a different CPA. He'll track how many hours your wife works. And maybe there's an opportunity for you guys to depreciate more of whenever you guys do cost segregation studies, right? So, you know, stuff like that, like however they can save money. Cause for some doctors, I don't think they're investing for cash flow. I think they're investing for the future. more of appreciation of the upside, and then also the tax benefits that you can get from it, right? I know, like my dad, when he invests passively, the last thing he cares about is how much money he's getting quarterly or monthly, right? He just hopes that everything's on track for the business plan and for the exit strategy.
I love that, Ethan. It's important that everyone listening to this, what is your goal as an investor? For someone who wants to get out of their occupation, possibly looking at cash flow early on and trying to get some equity. But if you're investing for the longer term, look for people who have business plans, who are looking to go out there and create capital appreciation over the next 3, 4, 5 years, not worrying about today, the draws that are coming on today, but looking at that. And you know, someone like Ether, an operator, should be able to talk to you about your goals. What are you trying to accomplish? Now, on that first deal, what did you learn on that very first deal when you bought it? 8 units, 17 years.
I learned a lot. So we paid a lot of dumb taxes, my dad likes to call them. So we bought that 8 unit. It was $335,000, so very cheap. It was in the north of Florida. It was a city called Jasper. I was 17, so the bank wouldn't let me be on the loan. I have a credit score. So they just said, let your dad buy it, and then you just manage it. Like, it shouldn't be big of an issue, right? So that's what we did. We bought it in 2019, and COVID happened the year afterwards. And we had management companies that were around, I think, 45 minutes away from the property. And we just saw, with it being such a small property, that we learned a lot on the management side, managing the manager, finding that fine line of not being too micromanaging too hard, but not being too lenient as well, right? So the beauty of self-managing as well, right? Because like those headaches of the property manager can be big sometimes, right? And we had squatters during COVID, so we had to get rid of the squatters. I learned a lot dealing with contractors. I kind of learned everything. Even though we had a third-party property management company, it almost felt like it was self-managed. But the last year of owning the property, we switched to a smaller company that was local. They raised the rents from $500 to $750. So the last few months, or last year we had, it was a nice cash flowing asset. And then we sold it, I think, end of 2022 for $450. So a nice little profit we made on there. And but the best part about it was like the education that I got from it.
Mm-hmm. So it's the conveyor belt model that we talk about at Jake and Gino. You're buying an asset, and the assets you're buying today, Ethan, are obviously have nothing to do with what you bought 4 years ago, because you've learned the three pillars of real estate. You've learned the framework, which we're going to talk about in a second. But those of you out there saying it's not the right time, I don't have any deals out there, the idea is just to buy a deal that sort of makes sense. Now, Ethan bought an asset in a tertiary, maybe a market that's even smaller than tertiary, very hard to manage. He probably didn't think about his exit strategy. All he saw was, hey, this is really cheap, but he bought a really cheap asset, but he added value to it. And then he got it on that conveyor belt. And after 3 or 4 years, he was able to matriculate the asset and pull equity out of it. It's not in real estate when you buy that you make money. It's when you exit that you make money. And that's what a lot of doctors and, you know, someone like Ethan's dad understands, that he's looking for equity appreciation. Cash flow is great. We need the cash flow month to month. But at the end of the cycle, when you're exiting it, usually we like to refinance our property. So that's the exit for us. But if you're selling it, you get that nice chunk of change that looks like over $100,000 profit for a 17-year-old. Not too shabby. When 18-year-olds are going to college and racking up 150 grand in student debt, Ethan's over there pulling out 100 grand in equity going into the next deal. You know, when you did that with your dad, that was just confirmation of that. When you joined Jake and Gino, what were your challenging? What were your stuck points? What were you looking for to learn?
For me, I had some issues with the networking side and just trying to scale as well. Because I did a bigger deal as well, 104 unit, but it was just trying to like replicate that, what I did in the past, right? And like keep it going and make a business out of it, not just a one-time, two-time deal. And I had two mentors, Anthony and Bill, and they helped me so much with everything. And they're very like, they would call out my BS if they saw it. Any Zoom we did, like, hey, that's not a good deal, right? Really honed down my buy rate criteria, because I was kind of looking here, there, you know, and I was kind of going where the money was, right? I didn't really have like a strict down criteria that kind of guided me when I was looking for deals. So that helped a lot.
Ethan, let me ask you this question, because this is important. You're young. How do you speak to people that are 2 and 3 times your age that are highly educated? You said like they may have a little bit of a God complex because they are really smart, but you're 21 years old. Like, what do you know? I mean, you're barely 1/3 my age. How are you going to teach me about real estate and to save money on my taxes?
I guess for me, it's like, I talk to my dad every day. He's my best friend. So we talk nonstop. So it's for me, just like talking to my dad, right? It's our avatar is very similar to him, like, you know, Latino or foreign doctors, right? So just hitting those same pain points that I know he has, right? Like, what was your tax bill this year? That's a big pain point immediately, right? Was it six figures? I know it was. And just think about this. If a doctor is married to another doctor, their tax bill is going to be twice as much, right? So so hitting those pain points, like, yeah, like a lot of times some of these local doctors, I know their kids as well. We went to school. So I can talk about their kids, you know, certain things I can hit. And for me, my father put me around a lot of older people. Like when I worked in his office when I was 16, I was helping out with the business management of his office, of his practice. I think he has around 3,000-4,000 active patients. So I was helping on that side of managing that, dealing with employees, doing payroll, HR, right? So I feel like kind of my dad throwing me into his office helped me a lot. So I just like would do different roles in the office, front desk, just different type of things that I could help out, you know, on the phones. And at some point, the average five people I spoke to had to be like 45 years old if I combined the age, right? So I just talked to a lot of older people, and I got a little bit more used to it, right? And sometimes for me, it's easier to talk to people your age than it is to talk to people my age. So
not sometimes. It's probably most of the times, because kids your age are still in college. And for everybody on YouTube, you can see Ethan's got a thick beard. He wants to look a little bit older. And myself and his dad had that conversation of like, your son's got to shave his beard. And I have the same thing with my son, Michael. He's 21. He's got a nice beard. I'm like, bro, you're a good looking kid. Shave the beard. And I know if he does, he'll look a lot younger. So just to play the part. But remember, that's a limiting belief. If you're out there and you're saying you're too young, if you don't have enough money, when you start the conversation with that person you're trying to raise capital from, they already feel it. They already have that sense that they shouldn't be having this conversation. But Ethan doesn't have that because he's got the credibility. He's got the role model in his father, the role model in the Jake and Gino community saying, yeah, I'm here. I've already had experience. Even if it's only an 8-unit. You've done 8 more units than most doctors out there, and you've had the experience, and let me show you how to do this business. Now, in that 104 unit deal that you did, how did you find the deal, and what was the, I guess, the benefits? What has gone right with that deal?
The way I found that deal was through a partner in networking, and that's kind of what triggered me into being like, okay, it's time to join Jake and Gino, because I had friends that worked for Jake and Gino, and I worked for a different academy at the time, so we always talked and shared notes and stuff, right? Like, and so I was like, you know, now it's time, because they always talk to me, like Scott always talking about the benefits of the academy. He showed me the Facebook group, showed me everything, how active it was. Like, hey, look, this is today. It's 9 a.m. There's 4 or 5 people already posting the Facebook group immediately, right? Mm-hmm. You know, networking. I found it through a partner when I used to work for a different academy. And I used to just underwrite deals for them, and they used to pay me some money just to underwrite a few deals. And we synergized very well off the phone. They had a property management company. They managed 4,000 units in L.A. So I had the confidence of getting onto a bigger deal with them, just because I knew they could manage it. I could bring in some capital. It was 104 units. We bought it for $7 million, and we raised 2.4 for that deal. And I learned a lot on that deal as well, because we started off with a bridge loan, and then we had to refinance out of it.
What year was that?
So we closed in 2021, I believe. I think 2022, 2021, I believe, August. And then so in January of 2022, I think it was, our loan was $20,000 a month. And by December, it was $40,000 a month, our mortgage statement.
Wow. And you refied out of it. So you're out of that loan.
We refied into actually a Fannie Mae loan. So I'm on my first Fannie Mae loan as well. So now I can start KPing on other deals, hopefully, in the future. And we got a fixed rate of 5.15, I believe.
Wow. So you were fortunate to actually, you know, refi out of that just in time before rates really exploded, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, so we got lucky on that one. So that kind of saved the deal. Like, we were thinking about selling it, but we bought it at $7 million, and we had an LOI for 10.5 in less than 24 months. So, and then we actually did the refinance at $10.3 million.
Wow, so, that is excellent.
And our investors, like I said, they're all physicians. They didn't really care to cash out. They said, hey, you can hold the money, you know, like keep it as reserves. We don't really care. So, and yeah, they know that we prefer a long-term hold.
Wow, that is awesome. Knowing your investor is so crucial. What did you learn about raising $2.5 million on your first raise? Because ironically enough, that was our very first raise when we did our first syndication. And for us, we were a little fortunate because we had the Jake and Gino platform. We had gone to some events. We had done our own events. So we were building up our investor database. We had a lot of ebooks out there, a lot of lead magnets. So it was our first raise, but people knew us. And they knew that we already had a track record. For you, what were their challenges of doing that first deal, that first raise?
I learned I wasn't as good as I thought I was. you know, when you do an eight unit, you're young, you get like confidence, this false ego you get, right? And so whenever we did the raise, my dad and I, we would sit down. Usually when I was 16, we would sit down and write down like all the doctors that we could think of, right? And how much could they potentially put into a deal, right? Like some make more than others. Some have kids going to college, so they can't put too much money in, you know, anytime soon. And so we had this long list. So we were very confident that we could raise even $4 million or something like that, right? And so I started calling members in the other academy I was in. Funny enough, is Mercy and Hendra. I think I spoke to them, who are also in Jake and Gino. And I said, hey, how much out of your soft commitments, how many turned over to hard commitments? And I think the guidance they gave me is like, I probably changed for them since then, but like 30% will transfer over, right? I'm like, okay, this is going to be tough, tougher than I thought. So, and doctors will tell, people in general will say, oh yeah, send me any investment updates you have or any investments that you have coming out soon. And then you call them like, oh, I can't invest now. You know, like, so you really realize who has the money. And then I learned the importance of this, systemizing and building processes and having following up with my investors. Because I started my business 5 years ago in March, so when I was 16. And I didn't do my first syndication until I was 18. So it was a 2-year time frame of me not following up with certain potential investors. So I learned the importance of having a weekly newsletter, just constantly updating my investors, keeping them warm. So when it is time for me to throw them a deal, they're ready and it's not out of the blue for them, right?
There's two things I would add to that, Ethan, and what I've learned from my experience and what a lot of the members in Jake and Gino are going through. They don't think you're going to get a deal, so they don't really work on talking to investors. Then all of a sudden, they've really learned the business. They've learned how to buy it, finance it, management, and a deal comes across their table and they need to raise $2 million. And then the scramble's on. Where do I find these investors? Well, that's the mistake you're making. There's two things you need to be doing in this business. You need to be sourcing capital and you need to be sourcing deals. Deals are great. If you've got a war chest of your own or a couple of people you can partner with, then it's not as important. But what I've seen is if you're out there and you're just building a list of potential people, letting everybody know what you do, creating what we call a substantive relationship with people and letting them know that, hey, I am in multifamily. Hey, are you a doctor? I'm sorry, but you're paying a lot of taxes. When I get an opportunity, can I reach out to you? Making those introductions and continuing to talk to people so that when a deal comes, you don't feel desperate. And the second part to that is the scarcity. You don't want to seem desperate when you're offering an opportunity saying, hey, I need the money. You want to say to them, hey, Ethan, this is a great opportunity. I'm in touch with a lot of people, a lot of high net worth people who are doctors, attorneys. They see the value in this syndication. We have until Friday. Once Friday's over, it's going to be closed. Obviously, you don't lie, but you try to put some scarcity into it. And if there's a little scarcity into it, that's what people need to get motivated. They feel as if they're missing out on something. And if your deal is really good, you have an obligation to get them into your deal because you want them to invest into an opportunity that they can't do on their own. You don't want them killing their baby money soldiers and continue to replicate what they're doing wrong. So you're actually offering a huge opportunity to them to come into this deal. So make sure that you are always out there sourcing capital and creating those relationships. And number two, having a little scarcity in those opportunities. Don't seem so desperate on it. And if you've been doing number one, number two will be easy because you'll have enough people on your list to be able to source those deals. Correct?
Exactly. I used to tell my dad, like, every week, let's try to get three new, like, investors. They're not going to invest, right? But, like, we used to call them investors, the doctors that we could add to the email list, right? And it's funny, my dad, he walks, he works in the ICU, so when he walks in the hallways, doctors like run up to him like, hey, I've been emailing Ethan back and forth for a few weeks, but I've never emailed them. It's just like the newsletter, right? So like they feel like I'm communicating with them. They feel like it's a personal touch. And that's helping out a lot. That's helping us a lot right now as well. Just, you know, constantly talking to them, sending them updates, monthly updates, quarterly updates, right? I think they'd rather get too many updates than not enough updates.
And that's what's amazing. Even if you put two people and you speak to two people and you get two people on your list, this is the beginning of 2024. At the end of the year, you will have 100 potential investors. And even if 30% of those people invest in your deal, that means 30 people are going to invest in your deal. And if they put an average of $50,000, well, at the end of this year, you'll have access to over $1.5 million. Just by putting two people on a list and being very conservative. It really adds up if you start doing the math, but you need to be consistent and you need to be able to go out there and to pull it off. So if you want to learn how to raise $1.5 million, I just gave you the blueprint on how to go out there and raise $1.5 million doing it part-time. If you can't get two people on the list, we all know two people that we can contact every single week and have that discussion. So I love that tip. 104 units. What's the next adventure for Ethan after that?
We've done a few syndications since then, smaller ones. What I've learned, for me in the beginning, I never wanted to take a percentage of the asset management just because I knew I wasn't as skilled in that field, in that bucket, right? So, but now where I'm at, 5 years in, I did full cycle on an 8-unit, you know, I had the 104 unit, refinanced it. My father and I, we have, like you said, we have 6 units of triple net deals in Leesburg, Florida. So I manage that myself. I'm very confident in my management now. And you hear so many things in the real estate space, like don't have too many GPs, right? Too many cooks in the kitchen. And once you get a little older, you realize why. So I like the partners I have. And like, I want to keep working with those partners. Like we talked before we started recording, Nico Salgado, right? Who's part of the academy, like someone like him, like a good trustworthy person. But I like being the operator. I don't want to be someone who gets brought in last second. I don't want to be seen as a capital raiser. I want to be a good operator who does like almost the whole thing. And then start delegating like capital raising to other people. Maybe have my partners who do asset management on the deals as well, right? But I kind of want to do the whole thing. And then also smaller deals. You and I talked about that 2 years ago. You said you did the math for me. The 104 unit, if I bought out all the investors and kept it, how much money I would make off that deal. And that, like, we call it the generational wealth deals, right? So something like that. So my dad and I, we bought a warehouse and it cash flows so well. It's like a 2.2 DCR. And that's wow. It's like after year or month 12, yeah, year one. So after a year, it's cash flowing amazingly. And we just keep thinking about it. Like, we should do more of these smaller deals that, like, we're not really here for the appreciation. It's going to appreciate nice, but we like the cash flow.
And I can back that up for you as far as small deals. So if you're listening right now and you're saying, I got to go bigger, I got to go home. Jake and I bought our very first deal back in 2013. It was a 25-unit, what we call crack den. So it was not a sexy deal. And we still own the deal. The deal was bought for $600,000. The deal today is worth conservatively $2.5 million. So there's net equity in the deal of over $2 million because the loan is $500,000 on the deal. We've been able to raise rents from, you know, they were $300 when we took over back in 2013, but now 10 years later, they're over $1,100. So that one little 25-unit deal is going to net us over $2 million. If you split up in three ways, because it's me, my brother, Mark, and Jake, that's $600,000 of profit. You know how many pizzas I needed to make to be able to earn $600,000? And that was from one small little 25-unit deal. Now, did it take time? Absolutely. It took years for us to build the equity. Now, if you're here and you're saying to yourself, you know, this now is not the time to buy real estate. It's just everything's going crazy. If you look at it, say to yourself, 5 years ago, if I had started like Ethan, where would I be today? Because Nico Salgado started at the same time. We have a lot of Jake and Gino members who started right before COVID hit. And they could have said, worst time to start. But 5 years later, they've got the relationships. They've got the experience. They know the buy right, the manage right, the finance right. They've built the network. They know the brokers. They have the market. So as the market is shifting, they know what to do, so don't wait. Ethan, anybody listening to this right now who wants to start, what were the first couple of things you would tell to them? This is what I did to start, and this is what you should do to start investing in multifamily.
Probably the first three things is educate, educate, educate. A lot of times people just want to jump in. And for me, I did jump into the 8-unit. And I bought it right after I turned 17. I remember I was under contract when I was 16. And I learned a lot the hard way, right? Like my way, you know? And I went through the path of most resistance. And joining Jake and Gino, I learned a lot of stuff that if I didn't join Jake and Gino, I would have learned the hard way as well, right? Like for example, Bill Ham showing me how to find pinhole leaks in properties just by reviewing the T12, you know, looking through the water and see how much it's raised, right? And I have a partner who has a property with pinhole leaks. I get to see it from his perspective, right? Like all the leaks coming up from different areas. I'm like, I'm happy I don't have to deal with this, right? So just constantly educating, networking with people. And then just doing it. Obviously there's like analysis paralysis, right? But at some point you do have to jump in. And I think just partnering with somebody who has the experience so you can leverage them Like for me, my dad, we would leverage my grandfather's experience, right? Because my dad helped out with the management there. Once we did the 8 unit, we leveraged the 8 unit. But once we started partnering with bigger people, we started leveraging them. Like, hey, yeah, I know it's hard for you to trust this 21-year-old. At the time, I was, I think, 19 when I was raising for that property. And but our partners manage over 4,000 units in LA. They own about 400 units themselves. So we're pretty confident in like taking this property where we think it can go. And
it's interesting. What you're saying is education times education times education times action equals results. If you do action times education equals results, it's going to be a lot more painful. You did that. I did that. There's nothing wrong with that. I just didn't have a framework or a process. I lost a lot of money early on because I thought, hey, I could learn on the street. I could learn by myself. Once I went and found mentors, I was like, wow, pinhole leaks. Wow. How do you even put an LOI in? How do you create the financing? Because financing is a little bit more difficult. How do you get deal flow in multifamily? These are a lot of things that we teach that is just not known because residential is different. There's not many differences, but there's enough differences to make them pain points and not make people understand what it's about. So it's educating yourself, getting out there, start networking, start getting in the right rooms, start finding the person or people that you want to serve, start sourcing capital, start sourcing deals, and start taking massive action. Ethan, you know, to wrap this up, where can the listeners get a hold of you? And, you know, before you answer that question, what does the future look like for you? What do you want to continue to focus on?
I want to continue focusing on building up more deals. My goal is really to retire my parents. My mom, I'll never say my mom's age online, but you know, it's time for her to retire. It's time for my dad to retire as well. And my dad has a 3-year-old daughter, so I want her to live the life I didn't have of having dad at home. You know, so I want him to be home more. So I need to get more passive rentals in the portfolio so that I can make that happen. And continuing, I'm going to start making more content as well. I have a podcast that I'm going to start posting videos this week as well. And just making more content, educating people as well, younger people who want to get into space, who have like limiting beliefs like I did as well.
Where can the listeners get a hold of you?
So my Instagram is Ethan T. Diaz. YouTube, you just look up Ethan Diaz. And my website is dbinvest.com. If you need my email, it's ethan@dbinvest.com.
And you want to throw your cell phone number, you can venture to put your cell phone number out there too.
I'll throw it in. It's 352-272-4953. And if anyone's in Central Florida, I'm always traveling between Leesburg, Tampa, Orlando. So I'm always in Central Florida looking to network with more people.
That's awesome. Ethan is 16-year-old looking to get into multifamily, puts his first deal in the contract and doesn't understand that you need to be 18 years old to actually sign a contract. He doesn't even know that. So for those of you out there saying, I don't know anything, I don't know where to start, he wasn't even of age to be able to buy a deal. He's working with his father in the office, understanding that, you know, at the time, have 2 classes, school. I'm really bored about this. I don't really want to go. My dad's a physician. I thought that was my dream. I don't really want that to be my dream. I don't want to be working 15 hours a day and missing, you know, life with my potential family in the future and working really hard, but not creating any wealth and being on that hamster wheel. Like a lot of doctors are, and like a lot of pizza guys are, and a lot of small business owners are. We're creating a job. It's transactional. There is nothing for the future. There's no equity building up. And as Ethan bought his first deal at 17 for $285,000, and then he ended up selling it for $450,000 a couple of years later. Then he joins the academy, the community, the Jake and Gino community, understands that he's doing pretty well, but there's certain nuances, like pinhole leaks and pipes. Really, Zach. Is that going to save me a lot of money? It can potentially save you hundreds of thousands of dollars and or not get you into a bad deal, which is even more important. So when you're talking about, oh, I'm going to have to spend money for education, you're investing in your education. And those little tips, those little golden tips can save you a lot of time and a lot of money. Going into 104-unit syndication, taking that deal down, and then all of a sudden having a $10 million, you know, LOI 10.5 and be able to refinance that money out. But more importantly, understanding who his avatar is and working with a great partner and his father and working with other partners in the community and understanding that multifamily is a team sport and education times action. No matter how young or how old you are, has always been the recipe and will always be the recipe. Ethan, I want to thank you for being on today's show. And as Jake likes to say, real people doing real deals. Take care, everyone, and we'll see you on the next Movers and Shakers. Thanks, Ethan.
Thank you.